It's hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with an MLB playoff update. At 2:30, why does October 20th matter? Birthdays for a couple of musical legends and a holiday celebrating one of the all-time overrated foods. In a mere minutes, it is our weekly Dallas Cowboys and Big 12 sports chat with the great Ari Temkin. I am Trey Elling, about to dial Ari as Chad Hastings rambles away until we get to that point.
Yeah, you're darn right you are. Well, you're not ready to go. The man gets to talk about a 5-1 football team.
I was too amused by that TikTok story.
Oh, my God.
And I was just dwelling in the amusement.
I totally understand. No problem. You know what? As a Cowboys fan, I'm in such a good mood right now. You can do whatever you want. So Ari Temkin is coming up. Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, you hear Ari and Brian Broaddus on the pregame and postgame, and had to be a fun time this week where the Cowboys, let's just be honest, they get a game that many times during the game it didn't feel like they were going to be able to figure out. Felt like the Patriots had kind of pulled them into a close, you know, every little decision matters, Bill Belichick kind of game. Honestly, after watching the Patriots play the Bucks this year, that's what I thought we were watching. I just thought maybe the Patriots were going to figure out a way to win it this time. I didn't know that the Cowboys had the ability to finish every play, to make every single play they needed to. But they certainly did, and they're 5-1 now. We'll talk to Ari about that. We'll talk to Ari about some Longhorn stuff as well. If you're just jumping in, we talked Texas football today. Those one-score games are now at 1-2 for Steve Sarkisian, and we talked about some of that. We talked about a little NFL for tomorrow night with Baker Mayfield being declared out for Cleveland, so that is Case Keenum going for the Browns. Let's hit the Vaqueros Cafe Cantina Hotline and talk to Ari Temkin, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network and Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM, which means he's got a lot going on right now. Ari, how are you?
I'm great, guys. I'm sitting here at the T-Mobile Center as they're tearing down Big 12 basketball media days. And yeah, it was funny because, you know, I did the Cowboys game on Sunday, and then I'm after the game, after post game, I go home, I'm rewatching some of the football games, and I'm thinking, I got to figure out now basketball. Like, I don't have enough on my plate. But what I have figured out is that Texas has got a pretty good basketball coach.
Yeah? You like him so far?
Look, you guys know I went to Kansas, and I love Bill Self. There are very few coaches in America that I would take today over Bill Self, but Texas has one of them. He's just a dynamic person. He's obviously a proven program builder, but he's real. He's authentic. Like, I, you know, those aren't always words that we use to describe coaches at this level of it, but you know, he obviously he's got the basketball piece to it, right? We've seen him schematically do so well at different places, but he just has this confidence about him, but yet not an arrogance. And you know, he's obviously a proven winner and a proven recruiter. I do not believe that there is any way that he will not win a national championship at Texas.
Wow. All right. There you go. Starting
I'll
off
say it a different way.
Yeah.
He's going to win a national championship at Texas.
All right. Strong stuff from Ari right away. I definitely want to get your thoughts on Big 12 basketball because it's going to be a lot of energy around these parts for hoops. But let's back up to the Cowboys a second. We'll start there, work our way back towards a little hoops because I thought the Cowboys win was so interesting on Sunday. As a fan, I was ready to give them credit for a loss. I was prepared to do it. I was prepared to say, you know what? You got caught up in a real NFL game. It didn't go your way. You didn't capitalize on everything, and dadgummit, that Belichick guy got you. Like, I was ready to do it. I was ready to pat the Cowboys on the head and send them on their way at 4-2, but they got it figured out, Ari, and as soon as Dak let that ball go and I saw where CeeDee Lamb was on the field, I thought, oh my God, they're going to figure this out. I was impressed with the fact that they could win that type of game in New England.
No question. And Chad, you and I were texting a little bit earlier today, and it's like, you know, I don't care how bad we think that team is or whatever. You escape with a win in New England for the first time since 1987. I don't care how you get it. Look, these are, you know, it feels weird to say, but these are games it just didn't seem like we had confidence that the Cowboys could win in the past. And look, there's that side of it. Now, there's also the other side of it that says, you know, you have two red zone turnovers that were pretty brutal, and so you kind of put yourself in that position, you know, to have to escape. But look, we've seen a team over the years that has completely succumbed to adversity and have just used whatever excuse, whatever exit ramp has been at their disposal, they've used it. This was just a no-excuses win for a really good football team that, you know, I think the big thing to come out of it is you've got the guy now that you don't want to give the ball back to any amount of time.
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt about that. So moving forward, as we're in this off week, I think injuries is the place to kind of go to. And it's not just about Dak, because there's been obviously, you know, anytime Tyron Smith goes walking off that field, Ari, wearing the leg brace on his arm, I start to get a little nervous, because that dude is, he's you know, he's so critical to what's going on. So I can live with the fact that Connor Williams is just not going to be Larry Allen. I got that. But in terms of these injuries, give me your concern level for banged up offensive line and spots, and then this this Dak calf thing.
Yeah, so I'll start with Tyron. By the way, it's a splint that they use for elephants that they have on his arm. look, I think as optimistic as you want to be, you look at the last 5 years. He's not played 16 games in the last 5 years. So, you know, you hate to say it, but there's got to be an expectation here that he's not going to be able to play in 16 games. And obviously it's 17 this year. And so I'd love to see it. He's playing at a Hall of Fame player playing at a Hall of Fame level. And I'll be honest, we haven't seen him play this good in a couple of years. So that's maybe, I think, where people were optimistic, perhaps, that this could be a different year than it had been the last 5 years. But look, I think Terrence Steele's not anywhere close to what Tyron Smith has been for 20 years, but you feel a little bit better about what you have at swing tackle now, especially given that, hey, Lyle Collins is going to be back coming out of the bye. So again, I mean, look, Steele has probably been a little bit overrated because they use a lot of things to help him out, you know, whether it be bringing in Connor McGovern or chipping with Zeke, or you'll bring in extra tight ends to help him. But, you know, he's proven to be viable, and that's something beyond that they've had the swing tackle. You know, Connor Williams had a bad game. People are overreacting to it because he's been good this year. Like, if you went through and said radar offensive lineman over the course of this season, I mean, you'd have Zach Martin, who's playing at a different level than any other human being on the planet right now, and then Tyron Smith, who's a Hall of Fame player playing at a Hall of Fame level. And then you probably put Connor third, quite frankly. And then, you know, Terrence Steele fourth, probably Tyler Biadasz fifth. I mean, that is genuinely how it's been this year. I think Connor Williams, over the course of his career, has been very underrated. He, you know, he's not as easily replaceable as I think a lot of people think. Now, he had a bad game, but I'm going to look at the composition, the total season so far, and say the biggest concern for this team and the offensive line is Tyler Biadasz. Beyond the injuries, that's a concern, obviously. But your center, that's the problem. That's the part that they're concerned about internally. And so if you want to look at making a change with Connor McGovern, you know, that's probably the spot. But let's not overreact to the other Connor, because, you know, if one bad game against New England turns into another bad game, we'll see. Part of this, too, is New England's really good in the middle in terms of their size. And Brian Broaddus brought this up. I think it's really important. Like, sometimes Connor can struggle with size like that. You know, so it's mm-hmm. There's an expectation here, given the opponent, that maybe he wasn't going to play as well, but he's played a lot better than I think most people would give him credit for over the course of this season.
All right, Ari, speaking of teams that can have some offensive line issues at times, let's talk Texas Longhorns, because when it comes to blocking and tackling for four quarters, they're not really good at it. What are you seeing from this team right now?
So, yeah, after you know, I watched the Texas game live, but, you know, you're watching it live and then going back and looking at two different things. And so after the Cowboys game, post-game show ends at 9:30, and then I'm on the air at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. on Monday. And so I'm, you know, I went back and rewatched the game, and it's like, I just could not believe you get to the end of the third quarter and you're like, how did they lose this game?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that they lost this game. And especially given the second week in a row where it's like, you're watching this game and you're like, how did they lose this game? They're in complete control. You know, the rush defense stands out so much. I mean, obviously, I think a couple of weeks ago against OU, it was defense, and I agree. You could probably look at the Oklahoma State game and say a lot of that was offense and what you weren't able to do in the second half. But they had Jaylen Warren bottled up. Warren had 21 carries. His first 21 carries went for 4 yards a carry. His next 12 went for 8 yards a carry. So they just, in the fourth quarter, could not stop them on the ground. And yeah, I mean, I think a loss of Jordan Whittington looms large because you've got players on the outside, but when teams are zeroing in on Bijan, and you know, if you're Sark and maybe you're protecting against giving him 35 to 40 carries a game or touches a game, you know, it's just tough. They just don't have a ton of god dudes on the outside, and especially given when you don't have anything over the middle. You know, I mean, Cade Brewer is a lot of things. He's not much of in terms of a target. But that's, I think, the struggle here. Without Whittington manning the slot, it just puts a lot of pressure on the outside receivers. And a guy like, you know, Xavier Worthy, he's a dude, but he's a true freshman.
Yeah, no, it's true. It is a big test for that team. And they've got, and you know, you cover this conference doing Big 12 radio, what's coming for them, Baylor and Waco. They go to Morgantown. They go to Ames. I mean, there's some tough teams coming, Ari. They're not nationally tough, but the way Texas is playing right now, they're going to be real tough for them to handle. How many, I mean, they're sitting at 4-3 here. Fair to say we're probably looking at an 8-4 team or worse?
I would say 4, which, you know, I mean, if we're being honest, that's probably what we expected when the season started or before the season. It's just one of those things, too, where it's like, okay, maybe this is what we expected, but how we got here, that's maybe, you know, it's like the Oklahoma game. Like, maybe you're not mad about the loss, but it's because it's, you know, you probably expect to lose to Oklahoma this year, given what the expectations were. It was how they lost. And it's the same kind of thing where it's like, okay, it's we got here at a situation where it looked like this, maybe this team could actually compete for a conference championship this year. And then obviously you get to this spot and it's like, okay, I mean, maybe we were a little ahead of ourselves in terms of that, but you know, I mean, Chad, you and I worked together a decade ago at the beginning of the end, right? And it's so many of the similar things that we've been talking about for years. And so, look, I it's hard for me to put this on Sark in year one, but I think that there's a lot that he's doing that is going to improve this program for years to come. And here's what I'll say about that. He was able to recruit some players based on Alabama and the success of the offense at Alabama. Xavier Worthy specifically that. He was going to Michigan, and he said, yeah, I decided to go to Texas because of Sark and what he's done in Alabama. Well, that doesn't last long, okay? You can do that for the one-year transition. Now you got to show up to Texas and show it. And he's doing that. This offense is explosive. This offense is good. It needs to be good and explosive for four quarters. I get that. But when you've got a guy like Worthy, who's a true freshman, who's putting up the numbers that he's putting up, that recruits other players. When you see what Bijan is going to end up doing when the season's over, that recruits players. When you see this offense put up the numbers it's putting up, that recruits players. So he leveraged the success at Alabama to help him in recruiting, and he needed to be successful on offense this year to keep it going, and he's doing that.
Yeah, that's that part of it. I think you're right. All right. Before we let you go, let's finish back up with Texas basketball. You said earlier you think they're going to win a national title with Chris Beard. So how about this Big 12? The media says it's Kansas, then Texas. Would you agree?
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the defending national champions right there. I mean, there's three top 10 teams.
Yeah.
Three top 10 teams, and all three of them will be in the top 10 all year. I have no doubt about that. I mean, every one of them is going to go through adversity, but these are not three surprise top 10 teams here. You know, Baylor loses four of their five starters. Davion Mitchell is a top 10, was he top 15, top 10 pick? You know, Maceo Teague and Jared Butler, another, you know, you lose those kinds of players and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a rebuilding year. But Baylor's done such a good job under Scott Drew in re-recruiting and, you know, and transfers. I mean, that's the biggest thing here, guys, is, you know, we visited with Marcus Carr today. The guy's an absolute stud, transfer. Obviously, Texas, tons of transfers. Another guy, I mean, Timmy Allen, it's funny. I mean, Texas has experience coming back, four guys, but yet they sent, you know, two brand-new guys in Timmy Allen and Marcus Carr. Remy Martin for Kansas, a transfer from Arizona State. Joseph Yesufu, another transfer. Baylor, the same thing, as they had the kid from Georgetown, Arizona, that was a Pac-12, all Pac-12 player last year. So we're going to see a lot of players that we've never heard of that were outside the conference last year. They're going to be playing major roles in the outcome of this conference. But Chris Beard is only, I mean, this is just one year. I expect this guy to get a lot of five stars. He's going to groom very good players over the years. He's gotten 2- and 3-star guys and transfers and turned those into 5-star guys that have had NBA careers. I can't even imagine what he's going to do in Austin. I mean, I say he's going to win a national title before it's all said and done, Texas. He did that nearly at Texas Tech, guys.
Yeah.
He played for a title at Texas Tech. How, I mean, it's almost like it'll be a disappointment if he doesn't win a title at Texas.
Hmm. That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. Overtime, just barely didn't get it done there at the Tech. It's true. Ari Temkin, he's a busy man. Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM, and he told you he just got done with Big 12 Basketball Media Day, so we thought we'd hit all of it with him. Ari, safe travels, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you guys. Be well.
A lot of good stuff there, and Ari and the Cowboys getting the week off, of course, and they'll be back at it next week. We talk to Ari each and every Wednesday about 2 o'clock. Coming up next, October 20th, and why it matters to us. We talked about an overrated food for me and Trey earlier. We'll get some of your thoughts on that. Plus, we have some big-time birthdays, including a big-time moment for Netflix coming up in 2022. We'll tell you about that. Don't move. It's The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Take your time, take your time. Who is it, Trey?
This is Luther Allison. Bad News Is Coming.
Have you played Luther before?
I have.
Yeah.
As a result of Bobby Rush, as a matter of fact.
Ah. Yeah, he's really good. This song is a great example of how great the genre can be and why, like, pop radio doesn't care about it.
You're right.
Because it takes its time. It's so patient. It's one of the most wonderfully patient forms of music out there. You have to really be willing to engage in the full, like, thing when it comes to great blues music.
No question.
And nowadays, that attention span, it's much, much quicker. Much, much quicker than that. Trey's going with a blues feel today. We've had a lot of good stuff, including the Black Angels, including a little Brittany Howard and Alabama Shakes from back in the day, a little Bobby Rush as well. And we hope you are having a good day on this October the 20th. We talked Texas football, Cowboys, and Longhorns off this week. Tomorrow it is Cleveland and Denver without Baker Mayfield. So if you're a fantasy owner and that matters to you, the torn labrum in the left shoulder will keep him out. Case Keenum against Teddy Bridgewater. That's what you're looking for on a Thursday night, right? Well, they're both 3-3, so it kind of fits. Now Cleveland feels 3-3. With Case Keenum taking snaps, Trey, now they feel 3-3 to me. That's perfect. That's exactly where they need to be.
Don't you forget about how good Case Keenum was with Minnesota a few years ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He did. He wasn't great with Denver after that.
Yeah, that's true. He has his flashes. He may have a Thursday night tomorrow that I'll have to eat some of my words. It won't be more than that, but he'll have a Thursday night. He may have a Thursday night in him. All right, let's get you a little October 20th to tell you why today matters for us, including overrated food. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right. By the way, somebody texted in. Now, that's some blues. Good choice, Trey. Loving the Luther Allison there. All right. We've had texts rolling in all throughout the day on different topics. 337-3776, the Specs text line. Somebody just texted in 7-5. I'm assuming they mean that for the Texas record, which would mean there's two losses coming. And I think the way they're blocking right now, Trey, I don't think that's out of the realm at all. If they keep doing that for four quarters, they're going to lose a couple.
It's possible in 3 weeks we're talking about a four-game losing streak for the Longhorns. I hope Texas fans understand that right now. Your next two opponents, if I'm not mistaken, are Baylor and Iowa State.
You are correct.
Both games on the road.
Yep.
And what are both teams good at, Chad? Playing a physical, fairly mistake-free brand of defense. And running the ball down your throat on offense and limiting the mistakes on that side of the ball too, assuming that Iowa State doesn't lean too heavily on Brock Purdy.
Yeah. It's a tough math problem that Sark has. He's trying to get a full football team's worth of substance out of one guy. And by definition, that's just hard to do.
It doesn't work like that.
Because there's not one other guy on that team, to me, that's giving you that elite performance, that consistent four-quarter elite performance with the injury you just suffered at receiver. He was starting to show you that. It's worthy at times, but, man, Bijan's all you got right now. Bijan is your substance.
Everybody talks about Ricky's Heisman-winning season in 1998. But let's think back to 1997, because Ricky was still a ridiculous running back then.
Mm-hmm.
But what did Texas not have? A reliable passing attack in 1997 that changed with Major Applewhite coming in and establishing that rapport with Wayne McGarity the following season and turning into a rock-solid guy at the position. That's not to say that Casey Thompson hasn't been that at times this year, but we're down a couple different receivers now. We need at least somebody else to step up in that receiving core. And we also need an offensive line to get to the level of adequate. They don't even need to be good. They just need to be adequate throughout the course of a game to help this team hang on after that initial 15-play script tends to find them up by a score or two.
Yep. Because if you go ask Ricky right now, was your offensive line in 1998 adequate? He might punch you in the mouth because they were so far past adequate. It ain't even funny.
They were better than adequate, and I would love something better than adequate. But I also have to be realistic about what this group is capable of.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because one of his guys I'm thinking of right now, Dan Neal, went on to win two Super Bowls in the NFL.
Sure did.
There ain't an offensive lineman at Texas right now that even gets to go to the Super Bowl unless they give up the money for the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now. So that's going to be tough to deal with. So we've hit all that. But also, we've talked today about the overrated quality of one particular food combo. Yesterday we talked gin and tonic. I don't think that's overrated. A lot of people like the gin and tonic. But Trey and I do not like the chicken and waffles to the degree that everybody else does. Not that we won't eat it at times, maybe, but just an overrated item for us. Especially if you're going to make it true fried chicken with bones and then you're putting it on top of waffles and syrup. Now I'm confused, Trey.
You're asking me to fork and knife a bone-in piece of fried chicken?
Or am I supposed to grizzly bear the thing and I'm getting syrup everywhere?
Exactly. Well, that's the problem.
It's gross,
it's not
too.
It's not like you can pick that up with your hands, because if you're putting the proper amount of syrup on the chicken and waffle, that means there's syrup all over the chicken, too.
Right.
So it becomes very difficult to pick up with your hands.
Yeah. If I can do it as like a taco, if I can do it as like a held thing and I got boneless chicken, maybe. But outside of that, and I'm sure there's some place that does this that can redefine my thinking on it, but I'm going to need the badass fried chicken that you pull apart, like the place needs to pull it apart for me, somehow get it into a waffle where I can fold it up, put syrup on it, and then go. That'd be my chicken and waffles.
This is actually not that difficult now that I'm thinking of it. All you have to do is just take a regular deboned chicken thigh, which is the best cut of chicken to use for just about anything.
Uh-huh.
It comes flat already. Fry it up, rather. You can cut it into rows from there, and that makes it almost like a fajita meat.
There you go.
For you.
That's it. Well done.
This is not tough here. I don't know why we insist on one of the most difficult to eat things on the planet, because this idea that our fried chicken has to come with a bone on.
Chicken and waffles day today. Also on the birthday front, musically, a couple of big dogs. One of them's a Snoop Dogg, in fact. He's 50 today. What do 50-year-old gangster rappers do? They go to the Super Bowl halftime show.
Well done.
And piss me off coming up at Super Bowl 56. We told you the other day, Eminem is almost 49, and so now that they're both not dangerous anymore, they're going to do the Pepsi halftime or whatever, along with a couple other guys that'll piss me off. Tom Petty never pissed me off. He would have been 71 years old today. Hard to believe it's been right around 4 years since he died. Died in 17. That's crazy.
One of the most famous fentanyl victims, right?
Yeah, that
was Prince on that list too.
Yep, he was one of those guys. You're right.
Hate to hear it, and unfortunately, not a lot is changing in that front. I mean, there were some comedians in New York City, lesser known guys, but some comedians who very foolishly were doing coke within the last couple of weeks, but it was laced with fentanyl. And I think it was four comedians. Three end up dying as a result of a fentanyl overdose, and they didn't realize that's part of what they were purchasing.
One of the guys that I worried about right around the time Tom died is a guy that the stories would tell us he hung out with a lot at times, and that was Johnny Depp. And I'm glad to know that we're 4 years past it and Johnny Depp's still with us. But he's one of those guys that apparently was hanging a lot with Tom back in those days. And yeah, so hopefully they've got their levels all figured out at this point.
Hopefully the all the hanging out that Johnny Depp has done with Keith Richards is rubbing off on him in more ways than one,
yes,
including the likelihood that he's going to live forever.
To stay alive, right? One other one, Trey, we got to mention William Zabka, Billy Zabka. Johnny Lawrence himself is 56 years old today, and Cobra Kai returns New Year's Eve for season 4 of the most unexpectedly good show that may have ever been made.
Boy, January is going to be a big month for the Elling household on Netflix because you have that. Technically dropping New Year's Eve, we probably won't start watching until the day after at the earliest.
You get 7 episodes all at once on that day.
It's only 7 of Cobra Kai?
No. 7 of... I'm sorry, no, I'm mixing it up with Ozark. You're right. Oof. You're right. Cobra Kai, they'll probably dump it all, which is what, 10 or 12?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around 10.
Okay.
Maybe it's 12 or 13, but we will have those 10, 12, 13 episodes finished by January 21st, when the new season of Ozark hits.
There you go.
And I can almost guarantee we will have that show completed by February.
And by the way, let's just give him his extra credit. So Zabka's 56 today. What's Daniel's name, the real name? Ralph Macchio.
LaRusso.
Not trying to dog out LaRusso or Macchio or anything like that. Everybody in the show does a really good job. The acting is great all the way throughout this show.
Except for LaRusso's daughter.
I disagree with you. How dare you? I love her. I love all the kids. I think it's well acted. But if Zabka was even a little worse than he is, if he was average, it would be clunky. That guy is so good in that show. It is the dumbest idea what he's pulling off, and I don't think we even realize. Let's take a villain from an 80s, a cheesy, wonderful 80s movie that's just like cotton candy to our souls. Mm-hmm. Let's take the villain. Let's bring him back years and years later and try to tell a story and construct something around him and try to make the crowd actually like him. Let's try to make him likable and relatable and human. In 2020, one of the most cynical eras of any time ever, and somehow they did it.
It's so well done.
He's unbelievable. He should be getting awards for what he's pulling off right now.
They strike the right balance of leaning back on the novelty when they need to, while also making sure that show is its own thing. And there have been plenty of other things that have tried to recreate themselves in this mold since then. The new Coming to America is a great example, where their attempts to strike that balance, in our opinion, failed miserably.
Yeah, no, it wasn't good.
And I think far more often you see that idea flop because they can't figure out how to work in some of the retro little Easter eggy type stuff while also making sure that the current version of that movie or TV show is relevant in its own right.
Yeah, you can't go home again, but Cobra Kai did.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. How do you go back to Reseda? They went back to Reseda. How do you go back to that apartment complex? They did it. How do you get those? Hey, what if those two guys were ever in a room together? Yeah, they pulled that off too. What if those two guys sat at a bar and talked about Allie? Oh, my God. That sounds like they pulled that off, too. What if Allie came back? I mean, it's been effortless how they pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking me out.
And now they're about to bring another character back from the Karate Kid movie that none of us even watched except for you.
Exactly.
You called this out, and I've read about it since then. You were dead on with that one.
Dude, Karate Kid 3 is only dealable because of the villain. The extra villain. You already have Kreese. But Terry Silver is a monster of a human being. And if they're going to actually bring that dude back and he can still make me believe he's Terry Silver, and I already got Johnny and Kreese,
And I may upset you with this one, but
oh my God.
The guy who plays Kreese is terrible.
How dare you?
I mean,
He
is not a very good actor.
Stop it.
But even his terrible acting skills translate on that version of the show. You know another show that I think could do it right if they were to bring it back in 2021? Saved by the Bell. I think if Saved by the Bell were to turn itself into a dark comedy.
Come on, man.
I'm not sure what you do with the Screech character. I almost feel like you have to recast Screech because Screech, Dustin Diamond, of course, is no longer with us. But I think Saved by the Bell could do it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Mario's too pretty for all of them. I really do. I think he has aged to such a good level. I don't think any of them can keep up.
Dude, the A.C. Slater character is the easiest one to recreate in modern times.
Have you rewatched it, though? Because they've done it. I mean, it's not just an idea. They've done it on, it's on Peacock or whatever. Have you watched it yet?
No.
Or is it fired up? Maybe it's not started yet. They had, the idea's been cooked up.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
A dark comedy?
I don't know if it's a dark comedy, but they're bringing it back.
Oh, wow.
Where Zach's the governor and AC's the principal.
What?
And dude,
hold
look
on
it up.
A second.
I'm serious. I think they had everybody on. Now, the Dustin Diamond thing might have slowed that down a little bit. But
Saved by the Bell redo. Oh, really, Internet? Now you're not going to work?
The way I remember it was he might not have been involved. I can't remember if Lisa Turtle was involved, but they've been talking about it.
Peacock.
If not starting it up.
Peacock. Announces premiere date for reboot.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to get Saved by the Bell.
You're going to get your wish. What's the date? What do they announce?
Wait, season two? Is there already a season one here?
I'm telling you, they already got this thing started. I haven't watched it yet, but I wasn't a fan of the first run, so that's not my show.
Speaking of how dare you, it's going to premiere November
24th, season
two. So apparently there's a season one. If you have seen the new Saved by the Bell, please let me know.
Yeah.
Did they go dark comedy with it? And did they do a good job of striking the balance between past novelty while making it its own thing? Having Zach as like the Gavin Newsom type figure, that's brilliant.
Right, exactly. I think they might be able to pull it off. But happy birthday to William Zabka. Cannot wait for the next season of Cobra Kai on New Year's Eve. All right, we'll get you stems and seeds before we get out of here. Another big night of back and forth sports watching for you. Some NBA to check out, but also both baseball series. Astros with a huge win yesterday. Can they keep it going? We'll get you set up for it on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
Try this again. That's scary.
Yes.
Yes! There it is. I misappropriated his falsetto earlier. It was a compliment, though.
Yeah.
He holds such a good falsetto, I even thought he was a girl for a second. That's how good his falsetto was. All right, what's this one?
This is the song that my wife has already informed my son, Calvin, that they will be dancing to for the son-mother dance at his potential wedding.
Wow.
Years down the road. It's Pearl Cadillac.
Very nice. Man, I kind of already thought you were married to somebody cool, and then she did that. That's awesome. That is awesome. That's
But she denied a Gary Clark Jr. song that I suggested for us.
Wait, for us, like the two of you to dance to?
Yeah. Please come home. She's like, if you listen to the lyrics of that song, it's not good for a first dance. I'm like, I don't care. It's a good slow dance song.
Ah, I see.
So we went with the Penny and the Quarters song, You and Me.
See, once again, I appreciate your wife's sensibility there. I'm a big fan of the lyrics have to line up. If you're talking about special dances at weddings and stuff like that, you can't go Every Breath You Take by the Police and just keep going.
If I want to go Toadie's I Burn with the first dance, because I think that we can slow dance well to it, I'll do that, damn it.
I'm with your wife. I'm with your wife on that one. All right, before we get out of here, we are going to get you a little stems and seeds. Remember, you got Rod and actually just Rod coming up. Kevin Dunn with the day off. RBKD, the RB side of that. So your stems and seeds brought to you by AV Consultations. Shout out to AV. You've got baseball coming up at 4. Houston and Boston. That series is all tied now. Atlanta and the Dodgers moved to tonight at 7 on TBS. Did the Dodgers shake it out of the Braves again? That was a huge comeback. Historic comeback. Did the Braves have anything left in these next couple games? Did the Dodgers take the momentum from them? We will find out. And if you're a Rockets or Spurs fan, you start tonight too. Houston at Minnesota, 7 o'clock, and San Antonio hosts Orlando at 7:30. All right, Thursday show tomorrow. That means we will get you going with Paul Wadlington at 105 from Inside Texas. No J.D. Lewis tomorrow for your fantasy help. We're going to do that on Friday. RBKD is coming up. Stay safe. See you.